two brothers going head-to-head in this game. Matt Groh is a Patriots scouting assistant, and Mike is an Eagles receivers coach. So we're keeping it all in the family for this Super Bowl 52 matchup. And with that, we bring in their father, Al Groh. Al, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to see you, Al.
Good morning.
Great to see you. And congratulations, by the way. Two sons in the Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
Unfortunately, on opposite sides. Yeah. Congratulations, but oh my God, how are you going to watch this game and who are you rooting for?
Well, this is maybe not quite as intense as when the Harbaugh brothers were competing head coaches.
Of course.
It's similar, though.
Right.
It's,
in the minds of Mike and Matt, they're no less competitive about the outcome. And, you know, on Championship Sunday, we were enthusiastically and energetically rooting for each team to make it because clearly we didn't want either one of the boys to have the disappointment of not getting to the game.
Of course.
But almost immediately afterwards, as Ann and I now discuss it, we immediately became Switzerland. we are now the ultimate neutral nation, and we're here as parents, proud of the boys, here to support them. And so far, just to make it a family event, and we think it's a pretty special thing that not too many families have had a family member on each side in the same Super Bowl.
Very rare.
And just to support, appreciate their accomplishment, support what they have to do in the game, and then be there to, now the tricky part comes, Jay, to balance those two balls of celebrate and commiserate at the same time.
How are you going to do that?
Well, there is no magic formula for it, Molly. We're just going to have to figure it out when it happens. And
have you talked to Jack and Jackie Harbaugh?
Yeah, seriously.
Because they're wonderful people, and I'm sure they could give you a little bit of advice.
You know, I haven't, Jay, but I have thought of some of the interviews that I saw people do with their dad before the game in similar circumstance that he had a coaching background. And my participation in the game has been with a win and a loss.
So you know both sides.
Yeah, I know the exuberance of winning and the abject disappointment of losing.
Wow.
And so I can see that as even keel as things are now, it's going to go this way.
Yeah.
Well, you're equipped to deal with it for sure. Jack was a wonderful coach, but couldn't speak to either one about what winning or losing a Super Bowl was actually like. So good luck with that.
Yeah,
I know
that's
not going to be easy at all.
No, it's definitely not. How are your sons handling it? Are they speaking this week? Are they keeping it separate? How do they handle that as brothers?
They speak throughout the course of the season. In fact, I happened to be with Michael after they beat Atlanta.
Oh,
and,
wow.
In his living room. And that evening, he got a call from Matthew. Congratulations on the game.
How
so
great.
They
That's
talk
cool.
back and forth. And it's a little bit reduced because they're not coaching against each other.
Right.
You know, like
thankfully.
Michael's not trying to beat Matthew's secondary or something of that nature. But still, they have great allegiance to their organization. And so they feel it very personally.
What advice have you given both about what they're getting ready to do? What have you told them from experience?
We've talked, Jay, about this is a significant family event. And the winner is Team Groh for this event. And we want it to be remembered regardless of the outcome, as difficult as it might be. And obviously, we don't know exactly how that's going to feel. But we want to remember this as something that added to family unity and harmony and appreciation for each other, as opposed to a fracturing event.
Sure,
our daughter from Ohio is here. So other than her two boys, the whole family is here. So we hope it becomes a very unifying thing.
Now, you also have connections to Bill Belichick as well. We saw you in the documentary, The Two Bills, the other night, detailing Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells' relationship and their coaching careers together. Tell us about your involvement with that, because you really added a lot of context to that situation.
It was very enjoyable for me to watch. It brought back a lot of positive, recalling a lot of positive thoughts and memories and a lot of interaction. And it wasn't just games, Molly. It was, you know, there was a lot of dialogue from Romeo Crennel. And there were so many hours with really three teams, with the Giants, the Patriots, and then when we had to go down to the Jets when Bill Parcells left, where, yes, Bill Parcells was the head coach, but it was Romeo and Bill and myself sitting for hours in that defensive coach's meeting room, making great game plans, grading practice, evaluating players. So for all the years that I worked for Bill Parcells, I really probably spent triple the hours in interaction with Bill and Romeo.
Wow.
So there was a lot of those, maybe a lot of those stories and a lot of those moments, Molly, that rather than get on the documentary, stayed in that room.
I bet.
Be a good thing.
Was there anything that did surprise you with the documentary that you saw?
No, I thought it was, you know, I learned a few things from it.
Because, like what?
Obviously, there was always some byplay, especially when Bill was the coordinator under Parcells. He had reason to kind of like, come here, Bill, I want to talk to you, more so than say he would have it me. But then when I became the coordinator for Parcells, then I had those conversations. So maybe I didn't know exactly what Bill and Bill talked about, but I could kind of imagine what it was, because now we were having kind of some of the same talks. But so much of it was not big events, just an occasional one-liner or a quick thing, or sometimes our fussing about the boss.
You commiserate with one another, right?
Because he fussed with us plenty.
Oh, yeah. It looked
and
like
And that
it.
Was obvious watching that. One of the things that really stood out to me was both of them talking about there's no room for sensitivity. Just none. Things are going to be said. They'll be hurtful. They're not personal. They're all done in the vein of making the team and the product better. Was it that way with all of the staffs that you worked with? And is that a necessary evil for a team to be successful in the NFL?
I don't think it's a necessary occurrence.
Yeah.
I'll stay away from the evil part.
It sure felt evil at times, hearing some of the things.
But sure, it came across that way.
Oh, it was uncomfortable at times.
But it really just has to do with the personality of the person who's in charge.
Yeah.
But we would have a 5 o'clock coaching staff meeting every day during the season, at which time we would review the practice with Coach Parcells, offense and defense. Everybody was in there together. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to watch the offense with these guys, and I'll come over and watch the defense with you. Everybody was in there. Then we would get the practice schedule. But most of those 5 o'clock meetings, somebody was getting it.
And amazing. You just hoped it wasn't you.
But you could sympathize with that guy, because it might have been you yesterday, and if it wasn't, it'll be you on Thursday or Friday.
Bill could spread the love evenly.
Those were pretty intense sessions, and I think everybody, when that 5 o'clock meeting was over, was relieved to get out and then just go to their desk and do the work that they needed to do.
That's amazing. And, you know, looking back at the whole situation with Bill Belichick becoming the head coach of the Jets for a matter of days and then resigning, and then you replaced him that year, didn't you?
I did.
What stands out most from that entire situation?
Well, actually, Romeo and I were standing in Romeo's office, because he had an office that had a large monitor, and we were going to watch the press conference. And we were very close to the door that Bill was going to use to enter the auditorium. And he stopped in quickly and said something to the effect of, hey, I owe it to you guys to tell you here, but I'm going in to resign.
Wow.
And we were, whoa. And with that, he was out the door and down the steps and up on the stage behind the podium. So we had no insight into what was going to happen, any more so than anybody else.
That's amazing.
I know you've been asked this a million times, and you've had some time to reflect back on it, but so many highs, mostly highs, some lows. As you look back on your coaching experience and all of the different people that you had the joy to work with, how do you characterize your time in the NFL? How do you, when you're explaining to people that don't know, how do you tell them about it?
Challenging, but I would say, well, that's a good question, Jane. I might need to go off in a corner and think about that one to understand it myself. But
right.
I would say that this lifestyle, and I thought a very good thing about the documentary the other night, besides being about Bill and Bill, it gave people a little window and some insight into what this coaching life is like, and it's a different kind of life, but it was a good life for me. It enabled me, the way I think of it, it enabled me to be me. It allowed me to use the parts of my personality that I've come to understand that, hey, it's in my Whether I was born with the DNA or not, this game certainly developed it in me.
Wow. You worked a lot with Bill Belichick over the years. We know him as the guy who hates the media, very different from Parcells in that way, very serious, do your job. How did you know Bill, especially working with him? What was that like?
Yeah, always very purposeful, but I think that characterized the three of us going into that defensive meeting room. But a lot of light moments in there, a lot of stories, a lot of laughs.
Take us inside some of that. We don't see that. The media doesn't really get to see Bill cutting up in any way. It's all business.
Right. Well, Jay, any reticence that you might see from Bill in divulging, well, when we would go in there to collaboratively put a game plan together, obviously it was all open conversation. What do you think? Here's what I think. Here's an idea. And oftentimes, a little bit of music in the background, Tim. You can kind of guess what some of that selection was.
Yeah, I have an idea.
Yeah. I would say, well, maybe in the 90%, almost everything that I ever did with my teams, whether it was practice organization, player management, game planning, game management, are things that in combination that I learned from Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick.
That's incredible. I think that the reason they're so fascinating is because they're similar in ways and they're completely different in ways. How are they, in your view, similar and how are they different?
Jay, they're a lot more similar than
they are.
Okay. The difference is that you see between them is more in personality than it is in philosophy and appreciation and the way it used to be expressed, where there's certain very specific things that cause a team, make a team win or cause the team to lose. And I think we all understood the same things, and I'll try to be brief with this, but this was really an insight for me. On the day that Bill Parcells announced at the press conference that I was going to be the head coach of the Jets, he said, and I think I have this pretty much verbatim, "I think you're going to like this guy. We're all from the same tribe."
Interesting.
That was a word that had never been used. It wasn't as if we ran around the hall saying, "Yeah, our tribe." And it really made me think, because then I had to go upstairs and get coaches. And usually in that context, you think I have to assemble a staff. And I sat there and I thought, tribe, wow, that's an interesting word. And what's a tribe mean? And it really means people
like-minded of the same
philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that's what it was with us, that there were a lot of guys of disparate personalities and backgrounds, but we all basically saw the game the same way. And it was essentially the same way that the head coach saw it. So a lot of times when he was saying, "This is what I want you guys to do," I think a lot of us were thinking, "I'm hoping this is what he wants us to do, because this is what I think we should do."
Yeah. Mm.
And I tried to put my coaching group together as a tribe, not as a staff.
Right.
And you can see Bill, and I can see Bill in New England. The vast majority of assistant coaches he has had, they either played for Bill, previously coached with Bill, or had limited coaching experience. And he has built his own tribe by taking, and Josh and Matt Patricia are good examples. They, I think, pretty much came into the organization on an intern basis, mm-hmm. and have now risen to the highest level of proficiency.
He was able to mold them as he wanted them.
And they're Bill Belichick disciples.
Absolutely.
And so what that does for a coach, that means if everybody is preaching the same gospel, if you will, that you don't have to be in every room yourself, because the players are getting the message that you want them to get, because you're the source of it. And a lot of talk, people try to analyze Bill. They talk about his game planning and whatnot. They overlook I'll use the word that they apply to him a lot. They overlook the genius of that in assembling his tribe rather than just accumulating coaches.
That didn't happen by accident.
Correct.
Yeah. And, it was all for...
And I think we all recognize that, again, one of those things background-wise, from our time together, starting when it was with the Giants.
Wow.
Great stuff. I could talk about this whole thing for hours.
I
We're glad that you spent so much time with us. Al, it's great to see
you. My pleasure. Thank you.
Enjoy Super Bowl 52. I know it's going to be exciting, anxious, tense, and disappointing all at the same time, but enjoy it, as you said, a family event. Good luck to your boys, and it was great spending time with you.
Well, there'll be a lot of green out there and a lot of red or blue, but Angro and I are going to look like you and Molly. We're going to be nondescript.
Good.
We love it
for
this particular game.
Enjoy
it. Enjoy
the game. Thank you, Al.